But we are looking at 1 Peter and just verses 1 to 2. And we will read this together. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect exiles scattered throughout the province of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. For two verses, it's pretty packed, isn't it? And the title that you'll find in your Frontlines packages on the table is, for this week, is All the Difference in the World. You can make all the difference in the world. Isn't that incredible? And I hate to tell you, it's not because of, in a sense, what we've done. It's because of who we are in Christ. It's about who we are. And that's the point of this message. That's the point that Peter was trying to get to across to the church. I don't know about you, but in education, we did these, maybe you've done it, I don't know, but these experiments that you've heard about to show that what you believe, who you believe you are, will determine what you say and do, and it will determine how we behave in certain circumstances, and it will affect our character. So just a simple example of one of these experiments, a lady who was a primary school teacher in America called Jane Elliott. And she said to all her primary class one Monday, she said, if you have brown eyes, you are naturally more intelligent than anyone else. Who's got brown eyes here? Okay, well, all right. So you are naturally more intelligent than us with blue eyes. And as a consequence of saying that to the primary school kids, the ones with brown eyes, as you have done, sat up and they started acting more intelligent. Their marks went up. They were doing great. And it was like the consequence of thinking, I am naturally more intelligent than those sitting next to me. The following week, on the Monday, she came in and says, oh, no, I got the research wrong. It's those with blue eyes that are naturally more intelligent than those with brown. And remarkably, the kids with blue eyes started to perform better. Well, those with hazel eyes. But can you see from this really simple experiment about, you know, who we think we are, what we think about ourselves, impacts our character, it impacts what we say and what we do. And so Peter is writing this letter because he recognizes this truth. He recognizes that Christians, followers of Christ, might need to be reminded of who they are. Because when we think of ourselves rightly, people who are chosen by God, people who are filled with God's Spirit, people empowered by God's Spirit, we are able then to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. Think rightly, we will be right in all that we do. Now, you know, as we're looking at a passage, I know it's a short passage, but we're still going to do the three C's. I wasn't going to test you this morning. It's New Year. And so I put them up on the board for you. We're going to look at a bit of context. We're going to look at content, and we're going to look at the contribution this morning. I think one of the things about context, it's really important to understand the genre of any passage. You know, if it's a poem, don't take it literally. If it's a narrative, it's a historical record. But here we have a letter. And so people have come to Peter in Rome and they've talked to him and he's like, oh gosh, I need to write a letter. And I need to write a letter to what is our modern day Turkey. Because these Christians were struggling. And what he also knew was that the church is not a place. It's still really hard, even in Pulborough, even in today's society, when they say, where is your church? I'm like, you're looking at it. Do you know what I mean? It's people. It's people who come together, who gather together to worship, to be equipped, to come and love and serve God as a body of Christ in that area. But they're like, where's your building? Where's your steeple? It churches people. And so he's writing to the church, but it's writing to the people who are gathering together in that region. And in Peter's time, and as we just saw from the video, in our time, the people of God were a minority in modern-day Turkey. They were suffering for their faith and facing persecution. And Peter's message is to encourage mainly Gentiles to live in the reality of who they are. And I'm going to get you to repeat these two words because this is the crux of everything this morning. You are elect exiles. So remind the person next to you, you are elect exiles. And I'm going to explain what that means. So Peter has written this letter. It says at the beginning of the letter, it says, you know, I'm an apostle, which in other words, he's a sent one. And so we're all apostles. We're not apostles with a capital A, although some of us in here have got an apostolic anointing. We are all sent ones. If you think about it, God is a sending God. That's a key characteristic of who he is. Think how many people he sent in the Old Testament. And finally, he sent his son. And when Jesus came, he then said to his disciples, I send you. The core of who God is, the core of who Jesus is, and the core of followers of Jesus is that we are sent people. And who we are is we're sent with the knowledge that we are God's elect exiles scattered throughout provinces, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ, and we are sprinkled with his blood. If you look up what exile actually means, particularly in the Greek, it means you are a stranger or an alien. So I'm looking at a bunch of aliens this morning, and as I like sci-fi, I quite like the idea of that. And what it refers to is those who are living away from their homeland, from the place of their birth, from the culture that they are used to. They are people who are learning to reside and make a life somewhere else. This makes no sense to me because these people were from those areas. They weren't aliens. They weren't strangers. They weren't exiles. You know, I think we were talking at the beginning of where your dad grew up, do you know what I mean, and where people grew up. That is our homeland. That's the culture we are used to. So why is Peter calling them exiles when they're still in the land and the place where they were born? And he's saying this because he's reminding them, you're a new creation in Christ. You have a new home. You're part of a different family. You're part of a different body. You're part of the kingdom of God. You're part of a kingdom. Does anyone remember the point of the Brussels sprout eating competition? What was the point? I know you remember eating the Brussels sprouts and that poor lad who ate one who thought he had to, although he was a judge. Yes, and so what was the point? Fairness, justice. You see, the kingdom of God is about justice. The kingdom of God is about joy. It's about peace. It's about right relationships with God and others. You're part of that kingdom. And that is quite a different kingdom from the United Kingdom that we live in. And it was the same for Peter writing to this church in what is modern day Turkey. He says, you're no longer part of this culture. You are part of a completely different kingdom, culture, new creation. Your DNA has changed. You have a different way of thinking and being. If he was part of LICC, he'd put in brackets there, you are a red dot in a grey world. Living as a red dot in a grey world is equivalent to you being an alien in your street, in your village, in the place you live. I'm not calling you an alien this morning. I'm just saying it's equivalent of that's how different we are to the society that we live in. And as a follower of Jesus, The key thing is that we're empowered, aren't we, by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has cleansed us to make us holy. I don't stand in my own righteousness. I stand holy because the Holy Spirit has made me holy. I stand in this righteousness because of what Jesus has done for me. So Peter here is saying, you're an exile, you're an alien. All right? And why is this encouraging? I don't know if I want you to be encouraged this morning. So rather than just looking around and saying, hey guys, be encouraged, you're an alien. The point of why Peter is writing this is that you belong in God's kingdom. You belong together. We belong into a new family. And one day, and that's the point of the next part in the 1 Peter, if you read it, one day we will be fully home. One day we'll be part of God's heavenly kingdom. It's a now and not yet kingdom. One day we will no longer be aliens to the culture that we are living around. One day we will be ambassadors. No longer, because we are part of that kingdom. But for now, not only does Peter try and explain this, but also Paul explains this when he writes to the Corinthian church. He says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Can you imagine? God's basically saying, the only appeal that I'm going to give to others to be reconciled to me is through you this week. The only appeal I'm going to make is through you this week for others to come into this new kingdom, this new creation, to be reconciled to God. If you look back over Christmas and New Year, did you feel like an alien in the culture that you were in? I mean, you know, I struggled quite a lot this year, more so than others, just with some of the cultural things that I was experiencing or even that my family were doing that just weren't part of who I am and what I'd like to do and be. Yeah. And did you feel like an ambassador? Did you shine bright as a red dot? Or did you find yourself merging grey? But that's the point, isn't it? It's reminding ourselves that we are different. And to be honest with you, that makes life difficult, doesn't it? Because we are different to those around us. And we should feel different. The bonus is one day we'll be fully at home. But for now, you're an alien and designed to be an ambassador. We're also, though, God's elect. I was quite sporty at school. And if you were sporty at school, it wasn't so bad when teams were picked. I mean, it's a dreadful thing to do, isn't it? I mean, you know, when comprehensive system came in, they tried not to. But have you ever been, you know what I mean, stood there waiting for somebody to pick you? Or not pick you, you know what I mean, is the case maybe. It's a horrible feeling, isn't it, when you're not picked and you're the last one. It's like, oh, come on to my team then. That is not the case with God. You are chosen by him. Everyone is invited into his kingdom. The best way I can understand this concept is it's like there's a doorway, an archway. It says all are welcome. And when you wander through, it says you are chosen. But whether you are chosen or not is your choice, really, isn't it? Whether you go through that door. But everybody is welcome to be elect, chosen. God doesn't choose you last. He chooses you first. He's like, I want you on my team. And Peter is reminding the Christians in Turkey, or modern day Turkey, hey, God has chosen you. And actually, it took a lot from God to do this. First of all, it says, remember that you were foreknown by God. It still blows my mind that before time was created, God was like, I need a Fiona. I need someone with her gifts and talents. I need her. And so I'm going to make her fearfully and wonderfully. And then I'm going to plop her in this place for such a time as this. Each of you are fearfully and wonderfully made with a purpose for such a time as this. And as you know, there's no retirement in God's kingdom. Apologies there, but there isn't. Do you know what I mean? There is no retirement. You're here still for a purpose. The foreknowledge of God, he's like, I've got you. I've chosen you and I've got plans for you throughout your life. The election of us by God the Father was made a reality, though, by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to connect to Father God, to become part of the Trinitarian relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you know what sanctify means? Holiness. Made holy. And holiness is about being set apart. Remember, sanctifying, you're set apart. And it's almost like, you know, hey, guys, I've chosen you, I've got you, and I'm just setting you apart from the world's culture. And I am encouraging you to mix with the red dots on a Sunday and then go into the world and be a red dot out there. And you will be sanctified. That's why we're red. And you will be made holy. And I will empower you, it says, through the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit could only do this because of what Jesus Christ did for us as a sacrifice. It is a really weird phrase. I'm glad that we haven't got new Christians here today, because it's one of those phrases, isn't it? You think, do you ever mention it in church today? By the way, you're sprinkled with his blood. You know, and it's just like people have no concept of what sprinkled with his blood actually means in today's society, in today's culture. It's alien to them. But you know, because we've studied it last year and we're going to study it a bit more in Leviticus, that in the Old Testament, the covenant relationship was created by somebody bringing an animal, sacrificing that animal, and promising to obey God. And once they promised to obey God and the animal took the sins, then they were sprinkled with that blood to say, you are cleansed, you are holy, you are set apart as God's people. I'm pretty glad that we're part of the new covenant, though. Because the new covenant means, as a priest, I don't have to come round and sprinkle you with blood. I think I find that quite difficult. The idea is that the new covenant is that the sacrifice has been made by Jesus for us. We are cleansed by his blood. You know that, but the world does not know that. The world doesn't know that they were foreknown. The world doesn't know that the Holy Spirit can make us righteous to get rid of all our sin. The world doesn't know that the Holy Spirit can empower them. The world doesn't know that Jesus Christ sacrificed himself for us so that we can be cleansed and clean and be chosen and part of God's special creation. Who are you? Well, God is saying that you are no longer who you used to be. Once you were part of this world and you fitted into this world and you behaved and acted like everyone else around you. But now you're chosen and you belong to me. You are one of my people. And so it's no longer appropriate for you to think, be, do as you were before. We are called to live differently. I love how my younger sister, every now and again, would just stop over the days that I was with her and just say, let's pray for these people. We had a fun party for Pete's birthday, but then we prayed for him. You know, most parties don't end in people praying and prophesying. We're meant to live differently, yeah? We're meant to relate differently to our family, to our neighbors. We're meant to relate differently to our enemies. We're meant to have a heart for the refugees, for the marginalized, the poor, the widows, the oppressed. We're meant to come alongside those grieving and remind them that the Holy Spirit will provide comfort. We are God's elect exiles, we are red dots, and that affects the way we manage our spiritual gifts. You know what your spiritual gifts are. TTT, how are you going to use them this time tomorrow? The way we manage our finances is different to the cultural world. I mean, most of this UK does not give money to a church. It's just alien. So thank you for those who faithfully tithe every single month. That's part of who we are. It affects our character and our kind of character that we are trying to develop. You are guaranteed in this new kingdom, this new creation, to suffer and face trials and tribulations. And the message isn't, get me out of here. The message is, I will never leave you or forsake you. It's hard, isn't it? You know, and I think it gets harder as you get older. The trials and tribulations and the suffering that you face. But we will react differently to that because we're aliens compared to this world. We are aliens because of what we do on a Sunday morning. We're aliens because of the type of music we listen to and sing along to. And we're hopefully aliens in the way that we start and end our day compared to others. I wanted to congratulate you on being bright red dots. You know, this is a message of encouragement. Well done for being God's elect, his chosen, acting like an alien wherever you go. Well done. So what? How do we make a difference in the world? Remember, I started with those with brown eyes or blue eyes. It starts by believing who God says you are and acting on that belief. You're exiles. You are a red dot with a different king and a culture to many of those around us. And we are part of God's eternal kingdom, which is now and not yet. We are red dots in a gray world, asking Holy Spirit to help us stay red in our daily lives. We are God's ambassadors. I wonder if you look back last year, have taken time this year and then looked forward to 2026 to say, you know, I'm not really one for New Year's resolutions about how much I'm going to lose weight. And although I try, don't succeed. But that's not really what us as red dots do as New Year's resolutions. And perhaps this is what we might aim for as a church and as individuals for 2026. It might be thinking that the Trinity is involved in everything that we do. Maybe it's a year of saying, actually, I want to get to know the Father heart of God a bit more, or I need to just understand a bit more how Jesus is so that I can be and do like he was and is. Or maybe it's the Holy Spirit that I don't know as well, and maybe I need to spend a bit more time thinking about that part of the Trinity. I wonder, have you made a list of who the people in 2026 you would really like to tell about Jesus and his kingdom? It might be different from your list for 2025, but who this year do you really want to tell about God's kingdom and God? Who are the people? Because remember, we make disciples. Who are the people you want to come alongside and encourage in their faith? TTT, this time tomorrow, you'll be doing that. Who are the people God has called you to pray with and for? And if you remember, our goal for 2026 is pray, care, share. So who is God calling us to pray, care, and share with this year? Our New Year's resolutions. Hopefully they're different because we're red dots in a gray world. Amen. Lord, I pray that as we look at those questions, as we think about those questions, that we would be a listening congregation. That we would be people who listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, who are willing to perhaps cast our nets on the other side of from the people that we have been talking to in 2025, but who have you got for us in 2026? Lord, I want to thank you for the way that you're growing so many churches around the UK. Lord, we want to be part of that movement. And Lord, you've called us as a congregation to pray, care, share. But Lord, it's all about being empowered by your Spirit and following where Jesus calls us to go. Forgive us for the times that we've ignored your Spirit's prompting. Forgive us for the times that we have not sought to follow Jesus. Thank you that your blood has cleansed us from all sin, that the Holy Spirit has set us apart, has made us holy again, so that we can start afresh, even this moment, and recommit ourselves to you and say, Lord, we want to follow you and where you are leading us this year. We want to commit to coming together to pray with people. We want to commit to care for the people you've called us to care for. And Lord, I pray that your love would compel us to share more about who you are. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.